You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill ahead of a new Premier League season. Good to have you with us on this pre-season preview. We're going to look at the outright odds for the Premier League. We're going to talk about the top four finish market, relegation to finish bottom, etc, etc, etc. Good to be back on the Punt Podcast. Dave Kellner here, joined once again by a staple of the Punt Podcast diet. It's Mr. Derek McGovern, live from his mansion in Italy. Good morning to you, Derek.
Ciao, amici.
How are you doing, sir?
Oh, very well, very well. Bene, grazie.
Are we going to do this full podcast in Italian, Derek, or are you going to speak your usual Scouse at some point?
I will speak fluent bullcrap. Anon.
And a new signing for the Punt Podcast for the 2016-2017 season. A man that's been tasked with the toughest job in football, and that is not to fill in for Lee Phelps. It is to keep optimism high at Leeds United Football Club. Tom Kerwin, welcome, sir.
Thanks very much, Dave. Yeah, thanks for the introduction. Yeah, I mean, my pre-season bubble has already disappeared at Loftus Road last week. But I'm delighted to be here for the Punt Podcast this season. I feel a bit like a kid peering through a sweet shop window with not enough money for a curly whirly. Watching Premier League football every week, but absolutely love it. And I thought Derek was listing some of Watford's new signings there. Did you actually speak in Italian there? I thought the two new additions to the midfield at Vicarage Road.
And Kerwin, it's nice to have something on the podcast ending in win. We didn't get much of that last week with Phelps and Kellner.
Yeah, I was going to save that particular pun for a few months in, but I don't know how you judge the summer transfer then, me for Phelps. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
It's a roaring success before you've even spoken.
Already,
we're in credit. Let's put it that way. We are in credit here. Let's get stuck in then, chaps. We'll start with the Premier League outright. Man City heading the market here with William Hill at 5-2. Manchester United in the betting at 3-1. Chelsea 11-2. Arsenal 6-1. Liverpool 8-1. Tottenham 10-1. 33-1, the reigning champions Leicester. And it's 66-1 and bigger the rest. Derek, the best team in the Premier League, Everton 100-1 to win the Premier League this season. So I'm looking forward to speaking about Everton later on in the podcast. Let's start with Man City though, chaps. 5-2 to win the Premier League title. Pep Guardiola now at the helm at the Etihad. And they've not made major moves in the transfer market, Manchester City, but they've still got the best striker in the Premier League in Sergio Aguero, and they've brought in Ilkay Gundogan, Leroy Sané and Nolito to bolster that midfield. And if the rumours are to be believed, Manchester City included John Stones in their Champions League squad. So that signing probably imminent for Manchester City. Derek, 5-2 favourites to win the title, City.
It's sure, given how much they underperformed last season, but I think it's right to make them favourites. And you know what? At the start of the summer, I thought whichever of the big clubs, Chelsea, United, Arsenal even, whichever of the big clubs got John Stones would win the title. Now, I know that's going to surprise a few people because he's taken an awful lot of stick, couldn't get a game for England in the Euros. But I think top-level football now depends on ball-playing centre-halves. They're the only fellas who get space nowadays in a game. And there's no better ball playing centre half than John Stones. Yeah, he makes a few mistakes, but he'll make fewer at City because he's surrounded by better players. And I think he's the major signing. You say he hasn't been busy, Pep Guardiola, but some of those signings you mentioned just earlier, they're big signings. Gundogan, Nolito, Sane. I mean, they're big signings. All right, they might not be a headline signing like Pogba, but they'll do a proper job for them. And I think Guardiola has addressed all City's weaknesses. I think, you know, okay, they only limped into fourth last term, but that was largely because the manager, they knew the manager was going, you know, from about Christmas. And you know, we've seen with the Fergie effect, when you hear that, plays pretty much down tools. We'll see a big season from City. And the key signing to me is John Stones. I think he'll be sensational.
He's not there yet, Tom, is he, John Stones? But it looks like it will be done in the next few days. And if those rumours are to be believed, it will be a big signing for Manchester City. My reservation with Manchester City is, Tom, the club's owners want Champions League success. They've always wanted Champions League success. It's been a long-term plan to bring Pep Guardiola to the club. Now he's there. Will the focus be on Europe this season?
I think it will, but I think with Pep, the reason they are the price they are is because of him. I think, you know, we're talking in the build-up to this season. We're seeing so many teams, six teams, you know, around 10-1 and under, obviously, in shorter for the title. And it seems to be all the focus is on the managers, and there's no question they've got the best coach in the world. I think that's why they are so short. It's no surprise to me that with the signings they've made, they've brought in four attackers, because Man City still, there are going to be some issues for them this season. A, performing at home, because they were indestructible at the Etihad for a long time, but they showed a lot of weaknesses last season. Still defensively, their best player is very injury prone, and the other end of the pitch, their best player is injury prone and missed big spells of last season in Sergio Aguero. So unless the supporting cast around those two players perform well, and I agree with Derek, I think John Stones is one that Chelsea will really rue not pushing for, given their centre-back situation. But I still think Man City have got a hell of a task in fending off other teams that I think are probably maybe a little bit more streetwise, maybe better equipped. And also what Pep's going to struggle with, I think, as will Conte to a point, and where Mourinho maybe has a slight advantage, there's no gimmies in the Premier League. I know people will look at Hull and Burnley and maybe a couple of us and say there is, but I think the shock will be for Pep Guardiola, and he comes into it with his eyes wide open, that in Germany and in Spain, there are games that Bayern Munich and Barcelona just had to turn up, play in second gear, and they'd win the match. It's not going to be like that in the Premier League. And I think his style of what he's going to try and impose on City is going to take longer than, for example, Conte at Chelsea.
Manchester City are 5-2 favourites for the title. Manchester United, their City rivals, are 3-1 in the betting. The special one, Tom, making his return to the Premier League, admittedly wasn't as special a year ago when Chelsea lost 9 games leading up to Christmas in their defence of the title. They have been busy in the transfer market. The spine of the team completely changed. They've signed Eric Bailly, they've signed Paul Pogba for £90-odd million, and they've brought in Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who does, in October, turn 35 years of age and has been playing in that poxy French league for the last four seasons. So whether he can be effective in the Premier League remains to be seen. But Manchester United, there's a groundswell of betting support for them. They're 3-1 second favourites, Tom.
If Mourinho's learnt his lessons from last season, Manchester United have a chance, and they're probably rightly priced at that price, because the signings, the investment that they've made has been solid, it's been strong. They were, you know, defensively pretty resolute last year, but they were pretty boring as well. Mourinho will just take that to the next level in terms of converting that into winning matches. I think those close games, Manchester United will get over the line this year, and they have genuine match winners. I didn't ever feel last year like they had that. You know, I know Rashford was sensational when he burst onto the scene, but still he's got to prove himself over the course of a full season. Martial was hit and miss, but I genuinely think in Ibrahimovic, they have got somebody that will turn those tight games. Yes, his age is a factor. You know, once you get into the grueling slog of the winter months, is he going to be able to cut the mustard every single week? But he uses class, he's lifted everybody else. And I think there's probably a feeling that they're going to be as close as they have been for a few years. But again, I'm still looking at that team and seeing weaknesses in the fullback areas. I think this set of players, that, you know, there's a lot of young players in there. I think they've been rattled a little bit by the last couple of seasons. So I'm fascinated to see whether Mourinho can kind of work his magic. But I do think Pogba is potentially a huge signing for Manchester United.
He might be, Derek, the first big named foreign player that's come to the Premier League in his prime in the last decade, really, Paul Pogba. And it might be a watershed moment for the Premier League.
Well, yeah, Eden Hazard as well, perhaps. Wouldn't you class him as one of those? I would have done a thought.
Yeah, I'm just saying someone that's made their name abroad and then's come. Hazard was a slightly unknown quantity when he arrived at Chelsea, wasn't he?
You might be right. Pug was different class. I mean, you know, they've halved in price, Man United, over the last few weeks, mainly because of Mourinho arriving, obviously, but also because of, you know, the Pogba business, because he hasn't got a weakness. I mean, he's everything you want in a top-class midfielder. You know, fantastic defensively, and he also poses a goal threat. And, you know, you might say £90 million or whatever it was for a player they let go for pretty much free. I mean, how many empties would Fergie have to take back to raise that kind of dough? I mean, they might say it's an awful lot of money, but he's worth it. I honestly think he's worth it. Because he got stuck in the Euros for underperforming supposedly for France, but I thought he was unbelievable. And if Man United win the title, it will be down to him. It won't be down to Ibrahimovic, who I've never rated, and I think he's another. Well, he's almost another Berbatov. People might say he's another Eric Cantona. You know, it's his aura that lifts the other players. Maybe that will work for Man United. But I've seen this guy a million times, and he's never, apart from that overhead kick against England, he's never done anything that's impressed me. I think he'll be a major flop, Ibrahimovic, but, you know, I'm prepared to be wrong. I think my more interesting sign is Mkhitaryan, who Liverpool were on the verge of signing a couple of years ago. He's a top-class player. And he'll lift United. He's made good signings, Marino. He knows his way around the Premier League. He generally wins titles in his first season as a club. So I can understand why they're second favourites. But what Tom says is right. There are still one or two weaknesses in the side. Who knows what Luke Shaw will be now he's come back after that long injury. Defensively, I still don't think Chris Smalling is the answer. But, you know, they have got, you're right, they have got the players you can turn games that they weren't winning last season, they were drawing. And let's not forget, they've got a proper manager now. They've had clowns the last two managers since Fergie left. They've got a proper manager this time around. And so, yeah, they're in with a big shout to the title, but 3-1 is a bit too short for me.
They've got an issue with Rooney as well. I still think with Pogba, you're bringing him in, you've got to let him, you know, maraud forward. You don't want to sort of restrain him in any way and put him in front of the back four and let him do that job, because he's so much more than that. Where does Rooney fit in? Does Ibrahimovic start every game? Martial, Rashford, are they wide players? Mkhitaryan obviously is a class act and he'll start games. But I still think when I look at that team, and I'm thinking here ahead of the season, what is the best 11? How do they all function in the best possible way? And I still think Mourinho will probably be mulling that over. He's got a few issues there. Wayne Rooney, for me, it's a similar issue that England have faced. What do you do with him?
Who's going to be the club doctor? That's another big issue for Mourinho.
I wonder what will happen. What's your prediction for Wayne Rooney this season, Derek?
Well, I think he's gone at the game. We all said when he was like 21, 22 and he come in like a boxer's physique, he'll be finished at 30. Well, he's 30 now. You know, he's still a clown on his day. He's still a class actor. You know, there's no bigger admirer of Rooney than me. But you can count the good games he's had for United over the last two seasons on the fingers of Captain Hook. He just hasn't done it. And I've got a feeling his nose will be pushed out the joint by Ibrahimovic. My God, if Ibrahimovic's nose is pushed out the joint, that'd be the big bang. I've got a feeling that Rooney, I think we've seen, I'm not the last of him, he's obviously got a part to play, but I don't think he'll be the Rooney of all. No, he won't be.
Wayne Rooney, his future under Jose Mourinho under question. Manchester United 3-1 to win the Premier League title. Chelsea are next in at 11-2. Disastrous title defence, and the demise of Jose Mourinho has played out publicly, Derek. But let's not forget, from a betting perspective, this team was 15-8 to retain their title at the start of last season, and they've pretty much got the same squad of players and a new manager in Antonio Conte, who impressed with a weak-looking Italian national side at the Euros. And he said he wants to turn Chelsea into a little war machine, Derek, which is one of the more delightful pre-season quotes. And they've made a couple of really interesting signings in N'Golo Kanté and Michy Batshuayi joining the squad. So they've got a good shot, I think, Chelsea. 11-2, Derek.
I think it's way too short for the team to finish. What was it, 10th or 11th last season?
10th they finished, yeah.
Then Costa is massively over. He probably could go anyway, but I just don't see him as a Premier League winner. Fabregas is playing on reputation. Hazard, one of the best players in Europe on his day, for Chelsea to fire, he's got to be back to the form he was two seasons ago. I mean, that's a possibility because he's a tremendous player. Batshuayi, whatever his name is, the new signing, I don't know too much about him. Kante, he could suffer second season syndrome. There's a lot of question marks about Chelsea. Conte coming in, yeah, you know, he's top-class manager. He's done it with Juventus, impressed with Italy in the Euros. But, you know, it is new to him, isn't it? First season in the Premier League, it's new to him. This is a guy who got Graziano Pelle playing like a world-beater at the Euros, so he's got something about him without question. But I still see weaknesses in that Chelsea side. Some of the players, you know, the John Terry's, another season gone, you know, another season older. I don't know. I think everything depends on Hazard for Chelsea. If he performs, yeah, they've got a chance. They're not going to win the title in my eyes, no way. They've got a chance at the top four spot if Hazard performs. If he doesn't, I think they'll finish out the top six.
I disagree with Derek. I think Chelsea are going to be a horrible team to play against this year. Conte, when he took over at Juve and brought them their first title in about 9 years, Juventus had finished seventh the year before. They'd had an awful season. They were never within touching distance. They were out of Europe. And at the beginning of that campaign, Conte said, we're going to win the league. He said, there's absolutely no reason why we can't. We've, you know, they were incredibly well drilled. They were brilliant that first season he was in charge of them. And they didn't have that European distraction. And whatever people say, it is a distraction. They can purely focus on the league. And they will be, I think, with the kind of players they've got in their squad who badly underperformed last year, I think the mentality will be amongst those Chelsea players to go out and prove a few people wrong. And I think they can do it. I think Kante is a brilliant sign. I think him and Matic will be, you know, I think they will be really, really tough to sort of get past in midfield. Hazard, actually, I think for himself, I bet he's had a bit of a reality check this year, because it wasn't long ago he's been linked with Real Madrid, Barcelona, all the top clubs in the world, the real big hitters. And that's all faded away because of last year. And I think he's got to stay. And if he wants that super move to one of the real big clubs to be regarded as, you know, an absolute top, top player, he's got to put it in this season. And I think Conte will do that. I think he has the similar problems with Pep coming into the league for the first time. But I think his style and how compact and tough they're going to be, he will set out not to lose. He's not bothered about, you know, some elaborate footballing principle. I think his ideas will be quicker to get across to this Chelsea team than Pep Guardiola's. And I think Chelsea, with a couple more signings to come, I think centre-back will be an area. Still think they'll look for another centre-forward, because Derek's right, if Costa, very hit and miss for me. But if he gets them playing Chelsea, I think 11-2 is a good price and a good bet, because I just think without European football this year, they are fully focused on the league.
He's more hit than miss, yeah. Costa, because he usually connects, doesn't he?
Mm.
Yeah. Another chins. Yeah. The one thing I noticed in with Italy in the Euros is it my pet hate in football is the goalie rolls out to the centre half. The centre half rolls out to the full back. He's got nowhere to go. He's closed down immediately by his opponent, and he has to play either back to his goalie or back to the centre half again. It happens time again in the Premier League, and it does mind nothing. Well, one thing I noticed of Italy in the Euros, that whenever the centre half played to, let's say, the left back, the left back would immediately punt it long right into the centre forward position. Generally, Pele who'd come short for it. So you've got the ball right away then in the yeah. opposing half instead of playing fanning around at the back. It'll be interesting to see if Chelsea use those tactics.
Defence is the issue, because, you know, neither Cahill or Terry played well last year. Zouma's the other centre back to use, or Ivanovic. It's why they're after somebody. And you've got to remember, Conte had the luxury in Italy of basically using the entire Juventus backline, who played, you know, with each other week in, week out. You know, he didn't have to do a huge amount of work there. That's where he'll do all his focus. I remember reading an interview with Patrice Evra last season, and he was talking about the differences between playing in England at Manchester United and moving to Juventus. And he said it was just absolute night and day in terms of the tactical sessions, double sessions, how much work they do without even a football, just on shape and positioning. And I think that's where he'll drill the players. And you either go with him or you don't. It's maybe a similar scenario to when Mourinho first came to Chelsea. And if the Chelsea players go with him, I still think there are players in there that have been there and done it and won the Premier League just two seasons ago, Dave. We're not talking about Man City, where there's seven, eight players have come in this summer. Manchester United, you know, they're pinning their hopes on a 34, 35-year-old striker. We're talking about a set of players here who tasted victory in the league, you know, just a couple of seasons ago.
Arsenal next in the betting here with William Hill, just half a point behind Chelsea as far as the odds are concerned. 6-1 Arsenal to win the title. Expect the protest to start against Arsene Wenger earlier than usual. Everyone's been saying it's Arsenal FC, not Arsene FC, and they've been quick to remind us that in the pre-season, the fans. I'm surprised to see them this short in the betting, Derek. They've not won a title for 13 years. They haven't really spent in the summer either. And I think they might be celebrating finishing ahead of Spurs at the end of the season. That reluctant acceptance every single season of just nudging ahead of Tottenham like they did on the final day last year. Per Mertesacker's injured. Gabriel's got injured. So they're lacking defensive solidity already. And they've not signed a top-class striker yet.
No, he's dangly tighter than a triple dead heat. We know what will happen with Arsenal. They'll spring in the fall and fall in the spring. It happens every season. Before that, Wenger will sign an unknown Japanese player on loan, and Jack Wilshere will get off the space in Magaluf. I mean, it's season after season, and keep people still back them for the title. 6-1 is a crazy price. I'm saying Chelsea are too short, that 11-2, but 100% would I rather be on them. than Arsenal at 6-1. I think Arsenal, unless they make some marquee signings in the next couple of weeks, I think they'll struggle to make the top six, Arsenal. Where most of the other teams have strengthened, but in fact, they all have apart from Hull. But Arsenal have done nothing. They've absolutely done nothing. I do not understand how that man is still in that job. But there you go.
The positive, Tom, is they have made one signing. Granit Xhaka has signed to add solidity into the centre of the Arsenal midfield. They need Alexis Sanchez to stay fit, but he picked up a knock in the Copa America final against Argentina, so his fitness a concern leading into the first game of the season. And another slight wrinkle with Arsenal is that Wenger's in the last year of his contract now, and Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez are in their final two, so there could be a possibility that that saga will develop as the season goes on, which might lead to a further distraction.
It's one long saga at Arsenal, Dave, and it has been for a long, long time. I can't believe, I'm with Derek, I can't believe people look at Arsenal as serious title contenders this season. You know, Xhaka is a good signing. He's a player that other clubs wanted, but he's not enough for Arsenal. I mean, it's the same old thing with them. When I look down their squad, I think, who can I rely on? If I'm looking at the start of the season as we are doing now and thinking, who's going to last the pace? Who's really going to cut it? Who's got the squad, the depth when it comes to going at the Hawthorns in January and getting a result? Arsenal, there aren't players there that I could rely on over a 38-game season performing week in, week out. They're too soft a team, and they remain that way. And one signing is nowhere near enough. I mean, look at this ongoing saga with Lacazette, you know, in France. Yeah. You know, they clearly want him. You know, they've got hundreds of millions of pounds in the bank. Just go get it done. You know, Man City aren't quibbling over whatever price they're going to pay for John Stones. They want the player. They go get it done. And Arsenal, you know, that they're sitting on their hands yet again. And I think the problem for them is other teams have caught up this year. There's still unknown with regard to the clubs we've already talked about. But I just feel that they're better equipped. And I think an Arsenal fan would probably prefer to be going into the season a little bit of unknown, maybe a new manager, a few signings that have come in from abroad, and that bit of excitement, rather than predictably knowing exactly what's going to happen. There's excitement amongst a lot of the clubs at the top end of the Premier League. But if I was an Arsenal fan and I'm paying 48 grand a season or whatever it is for a season ticket, I'm thinking, well, it's the same old. You can see it now. You can see exactly what's going to happen.
We're all agreed they're too short, so they are your title winners at Arsenal this season. in the betting at 6-1 here with William Hill, all agreed that Arsenal are way too short in the betting. What about Liverpool? 8-1 Liverpool. The big positive for Liverpool when comparing their chance to the others at the head of the betting, Tom, is that they've had time to attune to the manager's style. Jurgen Klopp was clearly influential in Liverpool's, in inverted commas, progress last season, because they did only finish eighth in the league, and that second half capitulation against Sevilla took a little bit of the gloss from Jurgen Klopp's debut season with Liverpool, but they haven't got the distraction of midweek football, Liverpool, which is a big positive.
Yeah, it's definitely affected their squad. I've almost got no idea what to expect from Liverpool this season. You know, when I look down the signings, the one thing I'd give Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool a lot of credit for is the fees they've brought in for some of their fringe players is remarkable. You know, the likes of Ibe and Allen and Brad Smith and Skirtle. I mean, you know, it's over 30-40 million quid just for those players alone. So they've done extremely well. They've made their annual deposit to Liverpool, to Southampton, to bring in Mane. You know, I mean, you know, decent signing, but I just think with them, I've got absolute, because they were so great at times under Klopp last year, and then they were so bad. The extremes were incredible, and you know, he found great consistency at Dortmund when they had the success, but then we'd seen what happened in his last season there. And you know, I have honestly no idea about Liverpool. But like I was just saying there about Arsenal, I prefer to probably be a Liverpool fan going into this season than Arsenal, because you don't know what you're going to get. It's going to be exciting, whereas Arsenal, it's going to be predictably dull.
Liverpool fan Derek McGovern, what's your verdict on your club this season?
Tom is dead right. I've got no idea. I mean, last season, you can sum it up, when they were good, they were very, very good. When they were bad, they were horrid. That's exactly what they were. And that's totally unlike a Jurgen Klopp side. You know, we know it's consistency he built into his team. Okay, he wasn't there long enough, perhaps, to build that consistency. He's had a summer now. He's got his players in. We should expect a lot more from them. Whether we can expect them to challenge for the title I don't know. I honestly don't know. They could come out the chops flying, but look at some of their early games. Arsenal away, Tottenham away, Chelsea away. You know, and they've got Leicester involved in that too. They could be adrift after the first four or five games. And just don't see them making up that kind of ground on the bigger teams. It's interesting. The big signing in my eyes, Mane will be a very good signing for them. But a big one is Wijnaldum from Newcastle. You know, I've been speaking to a few Newcastle fans. I knew he was a tidy player, but I didn't realise just how highly rated he was on Tyneside. They speak on him almost like another Gascoigne. That's how highly rated he was. He couldn't have been that good. He didn't keep them up. But he scored about 15 goals or something like that in a ranked poor side. So, you know, that's what Liverpool have lacked, you know, since Steven Gerrard left, goals from midfield, and he'll supply that. They could be great, Liverpool, this season. I don't see them being consistent enough to win the title, and I think at 8-1, they're criminally underpriced. Top four prospects, without a doubt.
I think that with Jorginho Wijnaldum, he'll thrive in a team that is doing well, but we saw him go missing at the end of last season when Newcastle was struggling, and that's the issue you've got with Wijnaldum. But I think in this Liverpool side, Tom, he will be a definite factor.
Without a doubt, and... You know, I mean, I thought Newcastle, when they played well last year, that they were good. And when he played well, Newcastle tended to play well. So, you know, they've obviously got a quality player there. But I kind of look at Liverpool's transfers and think they're clearly not in that bracket where Manchester United, where Man City are. I mean, you know, and even Chelsea, that is for sure in terms of the wages that they're going to be able to pay players. So they're looking at that bracket underneath. And actually, I think those signings are quite shrewd from Jurgen Klopp, particularly with the money he's brought in. When you look at the balance sheet at Liverpool, doesn't look too bad this summer, particularly if they do, you know, mount a serious top four charge, which I think they can do. I think they'll have Arsenal definitely in their sights as overtaking them. But, you know, it is going to be, if he can iron out over pre-season some of those problems that they had last year, then Liverpool on the day can probably match anybody. The problem he's got is just making sure every player in that squad is finely tuned to exactly what he wants. And I think last year, they lost their that's why when it worked, it was brilliant. But you've got to be able to do it over 90 minutes. And that is hard the way he wants them to play. But that's also why it's irresistible when it goes right.
In the betting at 10-1 is Tottenham. Daniel Levy and the club have deep pockets. But unfortunately, for Tottenham fans, he's got short arms, Levy. They've not really competed in the transfer market, have they? They brought in Vincent Janssen from AZ Alkmaar, who was prolific in the Dutch league, but there's got to be a question about whether he can come in and produce in the Premier League. Victor Wanyama's probably a decent signing as well. However, Derek, the core of their team, young English players that looked shattered at the end of last season when they blew that 2-0 lead against Chelsea, which ultimately curtailed their title challenge. And the serious worries about how Kyle Walker and Danny Rose can keep bombing down the wings, playing two games a week rather than just the one. I think it's a big season for Mauricio Pochettino. He's got to take Tottenham to, they were nearly there last season, but to the next level. And I'm not sure they can do it with this squad. What do you think, Derek?
I don't think they'll win the title, no. That was their best chance last season and they blew it. It might be the making of them, that disappointment. And they have improved unquestionably. You know, Wanyama's a decent signing for them. And Janssen could be anything. He could be one of the successes that come from Dutch football, like Luis Suarez, Van Persie, one or two others. Or he could be a flop, and there's been plenty of them from Dutch football. We don't know yet, but he is prolific. And he'd take a bit of the weight, you'd suspect, of Harry Kane. But they're not going to win the title unless they can sign another couple more. Because, you know, they've got more in the mix. They're playing every 2 weeks. I don't think they've got the strength and depth to cope with that. They've got a great manager. If you build on last season, yeah, they could challenge for the top four without question. But I don't see them overhauling Man City or even Man United.
Tottenham 10-1, Tom?
It's going to be built on the defence again from Pochettino. I mean, they conceded the least amount of goals in the Premier League last year. I think that back four and goalkeeper is arguably the most settled of all the teams we've discussed and those sort of top four contenders. So I think that's the big strength for them. I think, you know, he's probably right to bring in some support for Harry Kane, but he didn't really need it last year, did he? I mean, he looks like an absolute machine and it'd take an awful lot to sort of stop him from playing. But I just worry about that kind of mental fragility, really, and the scars from last season. I know in the end they were obviously well beaten by Leicester, but the fact that was their chance, and they will look, the Tottenham players this summer, they'll be looking at the business the other clubs have done, and they all underperform the Manchester clubs, Chelsea. And I think they'll be a little bit worried. They'll be going into this season, I think, a little bit concerned even about their top four chances. I think the fixture schedule will take its toll. And I think they're trying to go about their business quietly, but Tottenham, with the new stadium and everything else that's happening around the club at the moment, I think they're going to find it difficult the next few years, not only to keep the players together, but to have any kind of sustained success. And I think we might look back at this Tottenham team in 4 or 5 years and think, yeah, they were good for a period, but never won anything.
Tottenham 10-1 to win the title. That brings us to Leicester. 33-1 Leicester City, the reigning champions, won the league by 10 points and haven't looked forlorn in the pre-season. Acquitted themselves well in the Community Shield. Ahmed Moose has arrived from CSKA Moscow. He looks like a decent acquisition. They've lost N'Golo Kanté, David, but they've kept the rest.
Yeah. They could lose Mahrez, couldn't they? Still,
they could.
You know,
but they could.
It's looking good for them. I mean, you know, despite the 5,000-1, those odds definitely didn't go unnoticed, did it, last season? What did go unnoticed, though, a year ago was my tip for them at those odds. I mean, I didn't say it on here, and I didn't write it in paper, but I did say it to a pub, a mate in a pub, and he's disappeared as well. So yeah. I feel robbed.
Story never going to be corroborated then, Derek.
5,000-1, it's interesting that, you know, I think Hull are definitely going to finish bottom. They're only, I think, 1,500-1, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, I think the last time I looked, so there's no more 5,000-1s. No, you know, come on, that's once in a blue moon occasion. Saying, yeah, it shows that the Premier League could be won by anyone, but it can't. It was just a once in a lifetime happening. They're going to miss Kante without question. Probably that, you know, their number one performer, even though Mara's got all the individual players last season. And they haven't really signed anyone. Musa could be anything from CSKA. Was it CSKA Moscow?
Yes.
One of the Moscow clubs anyway. Yeah. They've got 12 of them. And also, they're in European football this season as well. Like, you know, they can't just sort of look at the Premier League. They won't even finish in the top six.
Where do you see Leicester finishing, Tom?
Yeah, outside the top six, I think without Kante, I mean, I thought he was the player of the year last year. Morgan and Huth are going to be badly exposed at the back, and neither of them are the quickest. The one thing Leicester do have in their arsenal is, of course, Jamie Vardy. And, you know, what you cannot underestimate with him is how deadly and how good he is at playing on the shoulder and finding that space. The other top clubs don't have that. I mean, Harry Kane's probably as close as you're going to get, but Ibrahimovic, Giroud, Costa, they cannot play how Vardy plays, and it gives them a dimension that I think a lot of Premier League clubs are lacking. In terms of being able to play that ball over the top, and they kind of draw teams in, and we know about it from last year. The one thing as well is second half of last season, nobody worked them. I mean, we worked them out, but nobody could stop them.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether teams just can't stop them or just couldn't figure out a way of doing it. I'd seen, you know, different managers, Koeman tried a different, slightly different way against them, and Sam Allardyce did it at Sunderland, and nobody managed to get any rewards. And I think if they play the same way, I think put it this way with Leicester, I'm not interested in them finishing the top six. I don't think they will, because I think the European adventure is going to distract them. But I still think there's going to be a lot of money to be made back in Leicester in games, because still, even at the weekend in the Community Shield, Dave, they were 3-1 to win the game. And I know they didn't win it, obviously, in the end, but, you know, I thought it was a harsh scoreline in the end. It was a harsh result on them. I thought they played well. I think Moussa looks very exciting, but like Derek, he could be absolutely anything. So I still think Leicester are a team that are going to win the majority of games they play this season, but I think they're going to be caught out by the European campaign.
This is your first season on the punt, Tom, but Derek, last season, said a few things about Everton that maybe in hindsight you regretted, Derek.
Just a few.
They're 100-1 to win the title, Derek. Just a quick word on Everton before we get the outright and top four predictions.
I'm prepared to say I might have been wrong about
that. Thankfully, that will be clipped out of this podcast and saved for all eternity, Derek, those words.
I'm never going to be allowed to forget that. I'm really not.
Okay, let's get the outright and top four predictions then. Derek, let's start with you. Who wins and who finishes in the top four?
Manchester win it. Man United come second. Tottenham third, Liverpool fourth.
Man City, Man United, Tottenham third, was it, Derek?
Yeah, Tottenham third, Liverpool. So no place in the top four for Chelsea or Arsenal.
Wow, okay. Those prices, by the way, top four finish. Man City 1-6, Man United 1-3, Chelsea 4-7, Arsenal 8-13, Tottenham 11-10, Liverpool 11-8, Leicester 11-2, West Ham 7-1, bigger the rest. So a Derek with a couple of odds again shots finishing in the top four with Tottenham and Liverpool in his top four prediction. Tom?
I'm going with Chelsea, Dave, to win the league. I think they will. I think they're gonna. I think they'll win the majority of their points in the head-to-head games against the other teams and their rivals. I think Man City will finish second, then Manchester United, and I'm going to go for Liverpool as well for a top four finish. I would prefer to back. It's uncertain there, but I prefer to back Jurgen Klopp with what he's going to try and do, and I think you'll get a lot of excitement for your backing there with Liverpool. So I think Liverpool will finish fourth, sneak in there.
Okay, I'm going to go with Liverpool to finish fourth as well. So all three of us have got Liverpool to finish fourth in the Premier League title. I'm going with Chelsea to win it. I feel the same as you, Tom, about that. I think Chelsea win. I'm going Man City to finish second, Man U third, and Liverpool fourth. So we've matched, Tom, on our top four prediction there. I'm going the same way as you. Let's talk about the relegation then before we wrap here on the podcast. Hull 4-7 to be relegated. Burnley 10-11. Middlesbrough 2-1. Watford 9-4, West Brom 9-4, Sunderland 5-2, Bournemouth 100-30, Swansea 7-2 to go down, and 6-1 Bar. And maybe the more interesting market to finish bottom of the Barclays Premier League. Hull are 9-4 to finish bottom, Burnley 7-2, Middlesbrough 5-1, Watford 6-1, West Brom 8-1, Sunderland 10s, and it's bigger price as the rest. Derek, Hull City. Favourites to finish bottom, favourites to be relegated at 4-7 as well. Club in complete turmoil, really.
Well, I can't believe there's such a big price to finish bottom. I can't. You look at all the. How can any team finish below Hull? It's not possible. 9-4 is probably the best of all time, and it's probably the fourth I've found this week. They've only got enough players to raise a five-a-side team of teams at the moment. They've got no manager. Yeah, the club's in disarray. They will finish bottom.
I agree. I think 9-4 is an outstanding price, Tom.
It is. I'd have them bottom at Christmas as well at 2-1. I think Hull fans will probably be getting involved in that action as well. I think they'll realise that they're an absolute shambles. I can't remember, maybe Derby under Billy Davis, a team coming up and being in as much of a mess as Hull City are. They've got an injury crisis. They had an ageing squad anyway. They're relying on Huddleston and Curtis Davis down that spine of the team. They don't have a goal scorer. They sold one of their best players to Newcastle because he wanted out, Diame. The fans are on the backs of the owners. It's the most unhappy, disgruntled club to earn promotion in the richest ever Premier League season you're ever going to. They've won the lottery and they just cannot see a glimmer of light. It's amazing for me how badly run that club is, and I think they're going into the new season on such a downer. And they have big home games to start the season. Leicester, Manchester United, Arsenal and Chelsea are their first four home games. Well,
wow.
The atmosphere at their stadium is absolutely toxic, and has been even last season. There was people were disgruntled with it. They can't get a manager. Everything about that club is wrong going up. And I'm with you too. 9-4 for them to finish bottom is cracking value.
It is indeed 9-4. Hull City to finish bottom. It's all the newly promoted sides that dominate that relegation market from a betting perspective. All at the head of the betting. You'll have seen Tom when covering Leeds United last season. These Championship sides in action. Burnley spent just 1 year away from the Premier League. Pretty decent in the Championship last season, winning with the title with a total of 93 points. They're 10-11 to be relegated. They haven't really strengthened. They've lost Joey Barton to Rangers as well.
There's two things you need when you come up from the Championship, and having watched how grueling the Championship is, and when you've earned that right to play in the Premier League, it's an incredible achievement. But there's two things you need, and it's the reasons I knew that Bournemouth and Watford were going to have good years last year. You need an incredible sort of style of play, which Bournemouth had. Unbelievable belief in their manager and a style of play that would give anybody a game. They always knew they could score three a game. Or you needed exceptional players that no doubt you'd look at them and think they can step up. And Watford had it with the strikers. Deeney, you knew, was a leader, and Ighalo. I knew there was going to be 30 goals between those two players at the very least in the Premier League. So I gave those two a great chance of staying up, and they did. I look at the three teams that are coming up this year. Hull are in disarray. We just spoke about them. But Burnley, they're functional. They're incredibly ruthless. They play in the style of the manager. They are, well-drilled, well-organised, all those kind of cliches, but they're lacking that quality, They don't have a player, unlike Danny Ings, when they were last up, who's going to fire them in goals. I know Andre Gray has scored a lot last year, but he needs five chances to put one and two away, and that's what he was getting last year. They're 4-4-2, Arfield, Boyd on the wings, not enough pace, not enough quality. Yes, they're going to be tough at Turf Moor, but that only lasts so long. It starts off with a bang, and then once you get into the nitty-gritty of the season, they're going to fade away. And doesn't it say everything about the ambition of the club at Burnley? And I know there's a lot of money gone into the infrastructure. The only real players they've signed, they got Flanagan in on loan from Liverpool, but they signed two players from Charlton who got relegated from the Championship. they sign players for next season in the Championship. That's what they're doing. And they don't hide the fact that that's what they're doing. And I think it'll be a spirited effort from Burnley, but they're not going to have enough this year.
It is strange, Derek, that these teams have come into the Premier League and not strengthened. We know that Championship teams that make that jump to the Premier League, they need to bolster their squad or they are going to suffer in the top flight. And Burnley and Hull haven't done that. Middlesbrough have at least spent some money. Aitor Karanka's raided different parts of Spain to sign his players this season. So it's going to be tough, Derek, for those newly promoted sides.
Yeah, but on the plus side for them is that there are some ranked bad teams already in the Premier League. You know, we're not talking that they're coming up and meeting teams that are far better than them. I mean, the likes of West Brom, Sunderland, you know, if they were in the Championship, would you back them automatically to get out of it? You wouldn't. You know, so it's not going to take the greatest achievement for them to stay up. I mean, Hull won't stay up, we know that. Well, I'd fancy Burnley too. I mean, I'm surprised that they're shorter to go down and the Middlesbrough are, given the problems Middlesbrough had in around March, April time. When they looked a rank bad side, and they only just got up there, didn't they? I fancy Burnley to stay up, but I do fancy Middlesbrough to go back down, because the new signings could be anything. They could be major, major flops. And I just can't see how West Brom are going to stay up. I really can't. I think I think they had a roster of about five mediocre strikers. They've got rid of three. So they're left with Salomon Rondon, I think, and Ricky Lambert, because Berahino will probably go in the next couple of weeks. How are they going to score the goals to keep them up? There's a bunch of players that look fed up playing for Tony Pulis, and I think they'll go down. I'm pretty sure they will.
Finished 14th last year, and Tony Pulis is 5-2 favourite here with William Hill to be the first Premier League manager out. They're looking to stay in the Premier League for a seventh year in succession, so they usually find a way. But the Saido Berahino saga rumbles on, Tom. They've not found a way to ship him out of the club, and they clearly want to get rid of him now.
Well, clearly, I think, you know, this kind of takeover of the club and new owners has probably just left the club, I think, just completely stagnant, almost in a vacuum for 12 months or so at the very least. It's obviously been on the cards for a while, and they just haven't really got the house in order, have they? And I think Tony Pulis is one of those managers now. He's probably looking on for the next job that becomes available, and I think he'll probably jump ship when he gets the opportunity to. But West Brom, I'm with Derek. I can definitely see them sliding away because, you know, his signings have not been up to much. His signings this summer are not exactly inspiring. But I'd say the same about Swansea City, you know. I mean, Swansea, I know a Swansea fan, and he just kind of, every year I ask him, oh, how do you think you're going to go? And I've always been in there. The Swansea story is fantastic. But he always says to me, we just want to kind of go on note. We don't like, you know, being involved, anyone spotting us. We never get talked about being in a relegation battle. We just want to go about our business quietly. And I just think last season, I don't know how they did it, because I thought at one point there were certainties to go down, and they had an incredible run at the back end of the year. But I think they're going to be there and thereabouts as well. You know, I look at their signings, they're putting everything in Llorente, aren't they? Their other signings, you know, they've spent £5 million on, you know, Leroy Fer and Van der Hoen from Ajax. It's not necessarily the inspiring signings that they're going to necessarily keep them up. So I think they're in trouble. But I'm with Derek with Middlesbrough. I think Middlesbrough are definitely more likely to go down than Burnley. I think too many signings almost coming in for Middlesbrough. And I don't think it was a particularly happy camp last year. So I think it's going to be difficult for them.
You mentioned Swansea there. 7-2 Swansea to go down. They've just lost Andre Ayew as well to West Ham for £20 million. And like you said, Bafétimbi Gomis has left the club as well. His form, admittedly, dropped off a cliff at the end of last season. Relegation predictions then, chaps. Start with you, Tom. Who do you think is going to get relegated from the Premier League?
Well, I backed this earlier on this summer because William Hill in their countdown to the Premier League season with 19 days to go. It was 19-1 for all the promoted teams to go straight back down. So I'm going to have to stick with that. I do think Burnley will be the one that most likely to stay up, but I think fundamentally, unless they spend some money, they do not have a squad with the pace to sort of compete. And I think Middlesbrough is too much of a cocktail that's going to go wrong. And as we know, Hull are down. So I'm going to go for all three teams. It doesn't happen very often, but I'm going to go for all three teams that have come up to go down.
That is a big price. Yeah. What price is that now?
Well, it was 19-1 19 days before the season started, which is why I snapped William Hill's hand off on that.
Yeah, Hull, that Middlesbrough, Burnley, all to go down. 4-7, 2-1, 10-11 for those three teams to be relegated. Those are the single prices here with William Hill. Derek?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Hull also, obviously. Middlesbrough, I'm going for. And I'll go for West Brom. I mean, I don't think Sunderland are safe either. I don't think David Moyes coming in. I'd do them any favours. No one better than Moyes at drawing ugly. And that won't be enough for them, I don't think. But, you know, it's just that they're lucky that they've got two weak clubs coming up. As Tom said last season, you could have given the promoted clubs a squeak. This time around, it's going to be even harder for them, especially with all the Premier League clubs and even the mid-table Premier League clubs strengthening considerably. But I think Burnley might just have enough, and West Brom will be the casualties.
I'm going with Hull to go down as bottom. I think we're all going with Hull to finish bottom in the Premier League. Swansea, I think, are really going to struggle. I think they'll go down 7-2 to go down. And the other team I fancy to be relegated, a team we've not really spoken about, Watford, 9-4. I think they'll go down. Odi Ighalo and Troy Deeney just stopped scoring late on in the Premier League, particularly Ighalo. And I don't like the sacking culture of the club either. And I think they'll, having guided them to 13th place in the league last season, Kike Sanchez Flores made the semi-final of the cup as well at Wembley. He's out. Walter Mazzarri in. I don't think he'll be given much of a chance. I think because they're not going to score many goals, Watford, they'll struggle. 9-4, them to go down.
What about Palace as well? I mean, you know, Watford and Palace were the same last year. As soon as they got to the semi-final of the Cup, their seasons just, you know, fell off the cliff, really. And Palace's back end of the season, second half of the campaign, was almost as bad as anybody. It was just lucky for them that, you know, there were so many clubs behind them and they already had enough points in the locker. If they continue in the same vein, you know, they are not going to have a happy season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Palace had relegation form the second half of the season, and they've got rid of three moderate strikers, haven't they? Shamak has gone, Adebayor, and I think Dwight Gale has gone. They haven't bought anybody yet. I don't think yet to replace, but they've got Balassi and they've got Sahar, and I think
punching
with those two, you're always going to win games. And punching, you're going to win games with those players.
Okay, chaps, so we've been through the outright, the top four, the relegation to finish bottom markets. Are there any... Do you see any surprise packages this season in the league? Obviously, William Hill got loads of markets on the website, top half finish, bottom half finish, etc., etc., etc. And we've not been through all the clubs, the middle of the road clubs, the likes of Everton or Sunderland this season, Stoke City. Any surprise packages for you, Tom, this season?
I've got to look at Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth will be targeting a top 10 finish. They won't say it publicly, but I think they'll feel they've got a squeak of at least top 12. But top 10, I think, would almost be realistic for them. They're not being talked about as relegation contenders because they've spent an absolute fortune again this summer. And that's the difference between them and the teams that they're going to keep at arm's length at the bottom. But I think they're only looking in one direction. It's up. I think that they'll be a lot stronger for the experiences of last year. Some of their key signings from last summer that were injured straight away, they had an awful run of injuries. You know, Gradle got injured early on in the season. Tyrone Mings, who they spent a lot of money on from Ipswich, had a really bad injury. Those players are
coming
back. Callum Wilson, yeah. So, you know, they've brought in some great fab. They brought in a player that I know well from Leeds in Lewis Cook, and they've spent £10 million on him. He will play for England at some point. He is that good. And he is going to start for Bournemouth this season. He's been exceptional in their pre-season campaign. So I'm rooting for him from a personal point of view. But I genuinely think Bournemouth, the way that they went at it, I know they're going to lose games, but they're always going to be in matches. And I think they'll be a tough team to play for a lot of sides. And spent a lot of money. Eddie Howe's brilliant. I really think that top 10 is not beyond the realms for them this season.
5-1 Bournemouth to have a top half finish here with William Hill. Derek?
Yeah, it's a possibility that. I wouldn't argue with that. The top six look almost nailed on, don't they? Unless Leicester suddenly, you know, unless Leicester managed to recapture last season's form, which is a big if. Maybe Stoke, if there's going to be a team that's going to challenge those top six in the betting, I would maybe give Stoke a squeak of reaching it. I think there's more to come from. I think they finished about eighth or ninth, two seasons running now. Similar kind of points total, around 52 points. They need to step up about 6 or 7 points on that, I think. And they're capable. They've got a good manager, players who have got more to come from them. Yeah, I'm going to give Stoke maybe the surprise package. But then again, it wouldn't be that big a surprise, would it? Would it for Stoke to muscle into the top six? Would
12,
it be that
12
big
to
surprise?
1 of this, Derek. So, yeah, it would be.
Yeah, well, it would then. It would be, yeah. I'm not saying it's a great bet, but, you know, value better thin on the ground, to be honest, in the Premier League at the moment. I'm searching around. I'm going to have to study the match betting a bit more closely because the outright prices are a bit stingy.
We'll be back on Friday with the first week of the Premier League season. My dad will be cursing now as well because he's a huge West Ham fan, and we've gone the entire podcast and not mentioned West Ham yet. They'll definitely be looking for a top six finish this season. They're 5-2 to finish inside the top six, the Hammers.
Don't you mean the London club, Dave? Not the London club. Haven't they changed their name? Is that not it? Is that not them now?
The Olympic club, they're called. Yeah, now. The Olympic club. Yeah, precisely. 5-2 West Ham to finish in the top six this season. Chaps, thank you for your company. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Derek. Enjoy the rest of your holiday.
I will do. Have a good time, lads.
When are you back, Derek?
Next week.
I look forward to catching up with you both ahead of the first round of fixtures in the Barclays Premier League. Chaps, thank you for your company. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, and you can catch us on iTunes as well. And we'll be back on Friday to preview the first round of Premier League fixtures, giving you all the best bets on the 10 Premier League matches this weekend. Get your pre-season bets on now here with William Hill, and we'll speak again very soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.